success with getting the behaviors they want with their children. One of the fundamental principles is each child has what I call an Achilles heel. That being the thing that the child will do everything, I mean, will do just about anything for. So when you know what your child will do anything for, and so for example, some kids, it's computer time. They want computer time more than they want anything. So basically, you want your child to come home and do their homework and do a few chores, and they want computer time. So the fundamental principle you operate on is you get what you want after I get what I want. When you set this up as a routine, one of the most important things is consistency and routine. So for an example, you'd like your kids to come home from school, get their homework done, get their chores done, then they can have computer time. If you have a set time each day, a set routine each day, you come home, you put your stuff up, you get a little snack, and then you get your computer time, then children know what is expected of them, and generally it becomes a habit, and there's not a fight. I don't know if any of you fight, and I'm going to stay with this analogy around for now with using, getting homework and chores done. If you find yourself fighting, there's a couple of things going on. One, if you find it, we are training our children. I had a friend say once when I mentioned something about training children, say, oh, no, you train dogs. You don't train children. And I have news for her. We train dogs and children. And in fact, the principles for training dogs and children are very similar. It's behavior modification. And I hope we're training our children. I hope we're training them how to behave and how to be responsible. That's our job as parents. I had a group of people who adopted puppies. We went to a dog trainer for puppy training, and then the families who brought the puppies, there were four families. We stayed after, and we applied the principles that was taught in the dog training to the parents, and actually even to the kids, to use with their peers and their siblings. So for instance, here's one example. When teaching a dog to sit, one of the first things I was told when I took my dog into this trainer, she said, if we keep saying sit, 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 we're teaching our dog to not listen to us. And how many of you tell your kids how many times, do your homework, pick that up, do your chores, and they don't do it. And so you keep telling them. And then we get louder telling them, then we get mad, and then start threats, and sometimes the chores don't even get done, or the homework doesn't get done, and you throw your hands up. What the principle is that in training your children, likewise training your dog, you tell them once, you tell them twice, and then you pause them to do it. Even if it means that you have to get up and go over there and take their hand and sit them down at the table with their homework in front of them, and at that point, okay, you can sit here. And what's really important, I think, that sometimes I see parents missing, they want the child to sit down and do that homework, and I know most parents do help their children with their homework. I have encountered parents who are really frustrated and not realizing the problem is the child just needs some help. Sometimes the child just needs help getting started, where we do want to train our kids to be self-starters. It doesn't hurt to start off, if they're having trouble getting started, to sit down and start it with them. And then once they're going, you can go. You can get up and go do well there until they need you to come back and help again. So be tuned into your child's needs at the same time. Having a hard line with them, and it's got to be this way. And because nothing works with all children. So it's real important to make sure you know your child and what works for them. For instance, children diagnosed with ADHD, they might need breaks. You have them sit down and do some of their work. They might need to get up and move around every 5 minutes or so, or they may do better doing some of their lessons if they can do it while they're walking around and doing their lessons out loud. So it's really important to accommodate the child and your child's needs for them to thrive. So back to getting the behaviors you want. You want the child to come home and do the homework and the chores. You have a routine. You come in, you put your things down, you get a snack, you sit at that table. If you don't have homework today, you sit and you read for this amount of time, 20 minutes. You get up and do chores. Now you can do what you want to do. You have free time. So you got what you want. The child got what the child wants. When you met with resistance, if you meet resistance with resistance, all you have is more resistance. So if you have a child who comes home and is resisting doing their homework, then that's okay. You don't argue, you don't fight, you just say fine. And the child does not do anything or go anywhere, does not get on the phone, does not watch TV, nothing until the homework is done. Sometimes if there's other children in the house, this can be a little bit of a problem because the TV's on and the child's watching the TV. So you may have to have the child that's resisting be in a different area. Let the children that did what they needed to do go up and watch TV in a different room. And have the child that's resisting, you want to supervise, but bottom line is basically they don't get to do anything until they do what you need them to do. You know, that's another thing I see parents missing a lot because they'll say things like, well, they didn't do their chores, they didn't do their homework. They're up in their room. They're up in their room with their toys and their iPad and their phone. So they don't get to go up in their room with all of their devices and comforts. They stay in the living room or wherever there's no activity, the living room or kitchen, and they don't until they do what they need to do. And this is not an argument about it. There's no fight about it. As far as the computer time goes, if you have it set to where they get X amount of time, computer time, so let's say an hour, and with especially younger and elementary school children, your time actually works like this. You can use your time. It's important to say give your children 10 minutes every night. That's their time with you. And during that time, they might want you to sing to them, read a story, something calm just before bedtime. So what you can do with that 10 minutes or what you can do with your prefer something like computer time to do this with is when the child is not cooperating, then and they're tying you up. If they're costing you time, then you get it back and you take away their computer time. And it should be minute by minute, maybe a little less if they're younger, but it shouldn't be more than 1 minute to 1 minute. If I have to sit here and wait 2 minutes for you to get out the door, you're going to have to lose 2 minutes of your computer time. And no argument, no discussion, no getting all upset. It's simply, so if the child doesn't have an activity like computer time, that they have a set amount of time every day, then, okay, you're going to lose 2 minutes of your time with me this evening because you're taking my time now. I'm going to need to get my time back. So it's not said in an angry, punitive, punishing way. It's just simply, honey, you're taking 2 minutes of my time. So tonight, I'm going to need that 2 minutes back. And now you never take away all their nighttime time. So you always leave at least 5 minutes to be with them. You never take away the whole, if it's 10 or 15 minutes, that you have your one-on-one time with your child. And I would use that as a last ditch also, and specifically only if it was specific to costing me personal time that I need in an emergency. If you can use like computer time or play time with friends or something that you have a set time that they get. Now, likewise, the other thing you want to do is reward them with extra minutes when, without being asked, they do their stuff. They do their chores. They do what they need. You come home and they did all their homework and they did their chores. Yeah, you can have an extra 5 minutes computer time. So you see them do something extra nice for a sibling or for someone else. Oh, yay. And sporadically, not every time. It's sporadic. Consistency is key. Researchers took some pigeons and put them in a cage, and they had these levers, and nothing ever came out. The pigeons hit those levers Nothing ever came out. They stopped hitting the levers, and they went about their business. They did another cage with levers that every time the pigeons hit it, food came out. Reward. So the pigeons would hit that lever, and food would always come out. So the pigeons would hit the lever and eat, and then they would preen, and then they would sleep, and they would visit, and then they would eat, hit the levers to eat, and they would preen and hit the levers to eat and take a break and go rest. And then there was a third cage. The pigeons were put in this third cage, and they would hit the lever, and sometimes food would come out, and sometimes food would not come out. And in that cage, those pigeons, sometimes they would get a reward, sometimes they wouldn't. In that case, the pigeons, they would hit those levers nonstop until their beaks were bloody. They wouldn't do anything else. They stopped preening. They just hit the lever constantly. That's an example of this behavior modification. When you reward a behavior, so when you give the children, say, an extra 5 minutes, when you really get the behaviors you want of time with you or of their fun time, and you do it sporadically, then you will get more of that behavior you want because they never know when it's going to get rewarded and they want the reward. The biggest reward you can give a child is your time. When you give a child your attention, it's really your attention, and which is your time also. When you give a child your attention, imagine I'm handing you a $100 bill and notice how you feel. Also notice if it was a crumpled up, dirty, torn, kind of nasty bill, how do you feel when I hand it to you? Not a whole lot different. So when you're giving your child attention, whether it's positive or negative attention, if you're scolding them, you're completely plugged into them, and that's a reward. And you don't want to ever withdraw attention in a cold, hurtful way, and yet when the child is behaving in a way that you don't want them to behave in, then when you say, honey, when you're ready to settle down, come and get me, and you remove yourself. I'll give you one example of a very young child, a four-year-old, I came to the home who'd been hitting mom constantly, just hitting mom constantly. So I coached her to get behind the door when he would hit her. Just get up and get away and get behind the door and but keep it open a crack just enough where she could talk to him and say, when you won't hit me, I'll come out. A week later, I came back, and that behavior was gone. He was no longer hitting. Prior, when he would hit her, she would get all engaged with him about not hitting her, and she would go on and on about not hitting her, and he kept hitting her more. So I promised to talk about consequencing. When it comes to consequencing, when a child does something that they aren't supposed to do, first and foremost, please think of it as a teaching opportunity instead of being horrified, especially if it's something that, might be a little kind of distressing the child did. You can sit down and talk to the child. Usually if children are misbehaving, they're feeling little inside or seeking attention. If you can have a calm conversation and get to, especially if you can have the child sit and feel what they're feeling in their body and ask what's going on, and then you validate it. And when you ask what they're feeling, if they're upset of any kind, you say, well, how big is it? And the child will show you. And then you say, well, now you know you're loved. And where do you feel that love? And they usually show you their heart. And you say, how big is that love? And they show you. And the cool thing is, in that instant that they show you how big that love is, they're in a different state. They're no longer in an upset state. Now, when you're upset, can other people really reason with you or talk to you when you're upset? How well does it go if people try to talk to you or reason or negotiate with you when you're upset? So why do we expect our children to be able to be reasoned with, taught, negotiated with when they're upset? They're going to be less able to process the information than we are even as adults. So when you do this process, when you deal with the upset first, dive in and feel the upset. Where do you feel it? How big is it? And yes, I would be upset. It's important to validate. Yes, that's upsetting. And now you know you're loved. And where do you feel that? They show you their heart. How big is it? They show you with their hands. And they are no longer distressed. I've seen it time after time after time. And now you can have a conversation. which is best to ask the child, well, what can you do about that problem? What can you do about the problem? And let them come up with answers. And if you think one is not a good idea, you say, what would happen if you did that? If you think they missed a good idea, you say, well, what would happen if you did this? So that you keep it in their hands as much as possible. And I'm going to wrap back around to consequencing. It's an art and a science. The consequence needs to be as directly related to the offense as possible. So grounding for everything a child does, sending a child into the corner for everything the child does, it waters it down, it has no meaning, and it does not work. So if there's a consequence where a child caused harm to something or someone, what they need to do is make amends. It's directly related to that, and that is enough consequence. Generally, what happens in school, generally gets consequence in school just fine. You have to consequence more. Too much consequences does not work. It backfires. If your consequences aren't fair, reasonable, and directly related to the offense, they won't work. Children have an innate sense of fairness, and they will only backfire if your consequences aren't related, are excessive, and it won't work if they're not consistent. If your consequences are not consistent, they will not work. It's you say it once, twice, and you follow through. Again, countless parents, oh my gosh, they'll say, well, if you don't do this, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, and then they don't do that, and this never happened. The consequence never happened. So it's, even if you as a parent have to be inconvenient, it's worth it, because when you follow through later, it's easier. They know you mean it. And driving down the road, kids are acting out in the car. Y'all need to settle down. One morning, two mornings, y'all need to settle down, or I need to pull over. Then you pull over and you sit there and you say, I'm not driving until you all settle down. And if you have to end up taking them home, the next time, and you make sure you make that next time really soon, that you go do something fun, they don't get to go. So what is the, if they're not cooperating, if they are doing something fun and they won't leave when you say, hey, it's time, I remember this one, you say, hey, it's time to leave, and they won't come and leave, say you take the kids to a park, using this as an example, and it's time to go. So you give them a 10-minute warning. I would give 10-minute warnings where I could make sure other parents could hear me, because this is so powerful. You give a 10-minute warning, you give a 5-minute warning, and then you give a 1-minute warning. Kids come with that. I had one little girl who one time she was really spitfire, and she was testing me, and she didn't come. So the next time when we went to the park, she had to sit and wait. The time that it took, I had to wait for her. She had to wait before she could go play. But that time she didn't come, and she was warned. What will happen next time is you won't get to go. So she didn't get to go. And after that, she came every time she needed to come. And it hurt me to take her siblings and not her, and yet it's what was needed. So I could talk, I just touched on highlights of several different things. Again, consequences need to be directly related, and that's an example of how that's directly related to the offense. It occurred around the same kind of event, the same event going to the park, and it was directly related to the offense, so it works. But if you said, well, you didn't come when I called, so you can't watch TV for the rest of the week, not only would that consequence not be related to the offense at all, it would be excessive for the offense, and it would not work. You just get anxiety and frustration. Sometimes kids acting out is anxiety-driven. Sometimes they're seeking attention, which is like receiving that $100 bill. Any attention you give a child, it feels to them like you come when you get that $100 bill. So you make sure you give that attention for the behaviors you want, and you make sure that you give a little extra reward for the behaviors you want sporadically, and then you give minimal attention to behaviors you don't want, and you use any kind of disturbing events as teaching opportunities rather than being disturbed, in which case the children internalize, oh my gosh, I must be a terrible person. Where if you can just sit there and say, okay, so what was going on, what made you do that, and then how do you think other people were affected? What do you think is going to happen? You just see it as a teaching opportunity. And because, yes, they're children. They're getting trained. So I'm going to wrap it up on that. The most important tool for a parent, most of us have one with us all the time, and that is a timer. It's a timer. So our phones, luckily most of us with smartphones have timers. It's also a good idea to go buy a timer, and that way you can tell the kids, here's your 20 minutes, or you have to sit and wait 5 minutes, and they can watch that time. It really helps when they can watch the time. Anyway, I think we might not have too much time for questions. If anyone has a question, please beep in, and I'll be happy to answer. And you also, please contact me. If anyone wants to contact me for individual coaching, my rates are $95. From this phone call, if you say you heard me on the call, I will work with you for $50 for an hour and a half to 2 hour session. If anyone has any questions, please go ahead and beep in now, because I think we're about out of time.